That's not exactly how Mary responds to the angel Gabriel, but that's basically what the angel Gabriel says to Mary. The Lord is with you. She doesn't respond in such a crisp way, in a joyful way as you did. What ensues after the angel Gabriel greets Mary is a long dialogue. Mary certainly responds, and she has questions for this mysterious angel who has such a strange message for her. This story on Advent 4 invites us to read between the lines imaginatively. We don't know, for example, what the angel Gabriel looks like. We never know what an angel looks like. Traditionally, in the Bible and in Christian tradition, angels are invisible, although some have said that you can see them out of the corner of your eye. We don't know what Mary looks like, but we do know her traditional color is blue. There's one window above the high altar, the one to the left of Jesus in the center, and Mary in those panels is in blue. That is her traditional color. It's a color of Advent, and it's a color of longing, and it's a color of the sky. So it always lifts our heads heavenward. We don't know why she is perplexed, but we can imagine, especially after hearing this strange message, that the child she will conceive will be the Son of God and will usher in a kingdom. That would have to be very, very confusing, even troubling. There's so much we don't know. We don't know if she is alone in this moment, but I suspect that she is. And the reason why I suspect she is because she's listening so deeply. And you know how sometimes in life, to listen deeply, you can't just pay attention to what's going on around you or in this world. To really listen deeply and hear, especially all that God is saying or doing, one has to listen within oneself, paying attention to what's within. And Mary, I think, always symbolizes the union of what's going on around us and the ability to ponder and reflect and really hear deeply what's also going on within us. And finally, she asks her great question, how can this be? My New Testament professor always loved pointing out the intellectual depth of this question. Mary here is parallel to the angel Gabriel, who wrestles with the angel. But in this case, Mary is wrestling not physically, but intellectually. And we can understand why. If you love chronology and sequencing, this service is not your favorite service, because it's many months away from this story in which Mary will finally conceive the Son of God. And in fact, that will happen at the cathedral in 2 hours. This is not a Christmas sermon or a Christmas service, and I can tell by the faithful look on all of your eyes that you good Episcopalians know that. You're here for a reason for Advent 4, although there might be one or two of you who will count this in two ways, both as your Advent and as your Christmas service. But it's an Advent service. It's an Advent story. And that means what we're ultimately here to contemplate is all of the various ways in which God comes to us and comes to this world. And angels, at least according to the Bible, are an essential part of how God communicates with us and with all of creation. Angel is a word that means message or messenger. angels bring a message, and yet they're invisible, so you can't see them. So this is incredibly paradoxical, right? You can't see anything, but you hear something, you sense something. If angels aren't your cup of tea, or if you haven't encountered one in a long time, I tend to think about angels being maybe synonymous, or at least related, to intuition. You ever have a gut feeling about something or somebody? We can't always trust our guts, but every now and then we should. Sometimes our guts tell us the truth long before our minds have caught up to what's happening. And sometimes our guts are really right. And I wonder if that's one of the countless ways in which God communicates with us. Mary Oliver is one of this nation's great poets, and she was long fascinated by angels. She, I don't know if she was officially an Episcopalian, but she attended an Episcopal church regularly. And she has a great poem called Angels that gets at all of this. Oliver writes, "You might see an angel anytime or anywhere. Of course, you have to open your eyes to a kind of second level, but it's not really hard. The whole business of what's reality and what isn't has never been solved and probably never will be. So I don't care to be too definitive about anything. I have a lot of edges called perhaps and almost nothing you can call certainty." I want to end, though, with a bit of advice, not poetry. I think in light of Mary's story, there are a few takeaways for how we can live, even day by day. And the first is this: find times to be alone. You might really want to, especially over the coming days with family in town, but find time to just break away from the crowds, break away from family, break away from others, so that you can be alone. For it's in being alone that we really most deeply process not just what's going on within us, but what is going on around us. The second is, trust your gut, not all the time, but sometime. Third, ask the deep questions and wrestle with them as long as it takes. This story reads pretty quickly about Angel Gabriel and Mary, but I suspect it took days and weeks and months finally for Mary to understand what had happened, and maybe even for the angel Gabriel to understand what had happened. And last but not least, when the time is right, when the time is right and you know it, say yes to God.